Hey, this is Troy from Planet 76. We've got some really good Sixers-focused content coming your way today. Make sure you subscribe to the pod so you can be in the know when we release new content. Enjoy the show. Well, what's going on, Sixers fans? Welcome into another episode of Planet 76. My name is Troy. Michael is with me as always. This is episode 135 of the podcast. You know, every time we say that, it's like, wow, pretty cool. Thank you if you've been around for a while. Thank you if you're brand new with us today for this episode. So we're recording this 135th episode on Wednesday night the 6th as the Sixers are off. Coming off of a back-to-back, one in Brooklyn and one at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. And so we're going to break down that action. Previously, though, the Sixers did win two against the Hornets and Mavericks. One against Dallas, a four-point victory that really felt good. We'll just kind of say that about that one. But then the two on Tuesday, Wednesday against Brooklyn and Memphis, a five-point loss to Brooklyn and a six-point loss to Memphis, both of which the Sixers had leads in the fourth quarter and just, you know, weren't able to get it done, particularly against Memphis, going just ice cold down the stretch in the fourth quarter. So we'll talk a little bit about what we saw in that, and then, you know, some more player updates, and then another update on the Eastern Conference standings as we're, you know, only a little over a month away from the regular season ending, and we'll give our take on what's the status there. So, Michael, wherever you want to go, really. I mean, you know, whether it's one game of the two in particular or the two as a whole, they were kind of similar. But what are your thoughts on the Sixers' back-to-back losses to Brooklyn and Memphis?
I don't know. Troy and I were kind of just talking about it a little bit, but these past few episodes have been a lot of head scratchers because, I mean, for a lot of reasons. I mean, you're playing teams that are worse than you, even without Embiid, even without Maxey last night and tonight, and you're still losing. The Grizzlies are not good. Sixers were up 10, 11, 12 for a large chunk of the game, and they lose last night against Brooklyn, just folding. And Troy, you were there if you want to just give a bit of a snippet of what you saw. But, I mean, fourth quarter execution was just bad. They just couldn't guard Dennis Schroeder, couldn't guard Dorian Finney-Smith. Just horrible ending to that fourth quarter. And they were in the game the whole time in the fourth quarter, at least from what I saw. And it's just like, you cannot afford, especially if you want to remain high in the standings, to lose these kinds of games. Games where, again, lesser opponents, but you're also pretty much winning a good chunk of the game and you still end up losing.
Yeah. That's what I saw last night in Brooklyn. Yeah, like you said, I was there. And Sixers, I mean, they, you know, they had a 14-point lead, you know, midway through the second. And then by halftime, it was I think, a two-point lead for the Sixers. And so it's like, okay, what happened there? And then very close back and forth, third, fourth. And Sixers had, you know, obviously opportunities to close it out. You know, had, you know, just some key shots missed and ended up losing by five. There were a lot of Sixers fans in the arena.
Yeah.
I will say that. That was kind of neat. I mean, obviously, Brooklyn not far.
But I was going to say, how far are you from Brooklyn? Like, what are you? You said you're what? Long Island, right?
So, yeah, so I'm on Long Island, and yeah, Brooklyn not far. Still technically a part of the island. And it's about an hour train ride for me. So I, you know, rode the train in and went to the Barclays for the second or third time, I think, and it was fun, but wish they would have got the victory in that one. Again, the fourth quarter, kind of a story, obviously. It was just, you know, really, you know, one possession game heading into the fourth, and then Sixers lose the fourth 32-24, and that continued tonight, where they lost the fourth quarter in ugly 34-16 at home against the Grizzlies. Like, that's I don't care who's on the floor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 34-16 at home. At home is a huge deal, and you're playing a lesser team, right?
Yeah.
So
the only real positive, well, there's a few positives from this game that I can take. One of them being Paul Reed, double-double tonight. From what I saw, he played very well. He played very good defense.
Oh, my gosh. I keep yawning.
Another positive, the Sixers picked up Jeff Doughton Jr. from the Blue Coats this past weekend. He got a two-way deal from the Sixers. I've had the pleasure of watching Jeff Doughton for many Blue Coats games now, probably 7 or 8 Blue Coats games now. Very good player. He played 24 minutes tonight, 10.6 assists. Big fan of the pickup. I do like his game a lot. He just adds more guard depth to a team now that has lots of guards, lots of good guards. Cameron Payne, Buddy Hield, Maxey when he's healthy, Ricky Council, Kyle Lowry, who I guess he didn't play tonight. But big fan of the Doughton move. I like the call-up for the Sixers. I'm hoping he gets legit time because unlike Lofton and Baisley, who... Lofton, I think, is still on a two-way deal. Darius Baisley got a 10-day contract. He did not play at all from what I have seen. Or, you know, he did not play at all. I don't think he played at all. Hopefully, Doughton gets legit time. Ricky Council is carving a role for himself on the team. A lot of dogs on the Blue Coats. Like, a lot of really good players on the Blue Coats. And the Sixers were running with Terquavion Smith for a little while, but he's back down with the Blue Coats as well. So, again, I feel like you can pull positives from even games like this. And I did. So, I don't want it to come off as I'm just totally dumping on this team. But it's just tough now because we're really seeing this team with no Embiid, with a guy in Embiid who makes up for a lot of what the team lacks or makes up for a lot of the team's struggles when they are struggling. I think right now Maxey's not been struggling per se, but I think him being at the helm of the offense has had its problems because I feel like some of the things he doesn't do particularly well are now more glaring because he has the ball more, he's doing more things. So he doesn't look quite as good, I would go out and say. However, I'm not saying he's worse as a player. He hasn't gotten worse or anything like that. It's just that Embiid, we've talked about this so much. Embiid makes up for slash masks is the word I'm looking for. So much for this team. He does so much for this team that when it's time for guys to take on more of a role, it's difficult. And rightfully so, because Embiid, you demand so much from Embiid as a team that when he cannot do those things, when he's not playing, the things he does become more of a burden to the team because they don't have him to do those things and do them as well as he does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and again, it's not to make an excuse for a blown 34-16 lead, and I'm sure like Nick Nurse would agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuse for that. It doesn't matter who's on the floor. But when you don't have Embiid, now Tyrese also hasn't played the last two nights against, you know, both these games we're talking about exclusively on this episode, Brooklyn and Memphis. I mean, that's 60 points. Think about that. It's 35 a game from Embiid, and Maxey's over 25, 26. So it's like, holy cow. And then you throw in the other injuries that they have. De'Anthony Melton is, I mean, he's been out. You know,
I feel
he came
really
back,
bad
hurt
for
his
him,
back
dude.
Again.
He's... Not even because he's such a great, like, not even because he fits the team so well, but he just comes out and plays. Like, it's just so frustrating because he does provide so much of the team, but, like, he's just a great player. He's just an awesome player, man.
Yeah, he can do it all. He brings a lot. He brings a lot, and that's not there. Then, you know, you mentioned Kyle Lowry didn't play tonight. He was very good against Brooklyn. Campaign had a great outing against Brooklyn too. Again, to mention even some bright spots in that one last night. But it's hard to replace Embiid. And I'm gonna make the most obvious statement of the year, but like, this team is built for success when Joel Embiid's on the floor. Like, even just from a schematic standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, from, you know, making guys better. We talked about that last week. Joel Embiid makes everyone else on this team better, because, you know, he makes Tyrese Maxey better, even though, you know, Tyrese, you mentioned, he's had success even without Embiid, but there are times when it's like, okay, if Embiid were on the floor, Maxey wouldn't do that. He would play his game, which is best when Embiid's on the floor. You can say the same thing for Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield hasn't even played with Embiid yet, and I know it's going to be great, like, because he's built to play with a guy like that, and he hasn't played with someone like Embiid in his career, so that's going to be fun to watch. But right now, Embiid's not on the floor, and it sucks. But
pretty much.
And something else we talked about. We said, okay, now maybe it's unfair to say the Sixers got to go out and beat the Bucks right now, beat the Celtics right now, but what they do need to do is win games like this, and they haven't, right? The last two nights, just hurts, especially when you're in the game fourth quarter. You know, Tobias Harris has had his struggles. You mentioned even Ricky Council. Ricky Council played extremely well, you know, end of February against Boston, and then he struggled against Charlotte, didn't play against Brooklyn, and then was 0 for 3 in 9 minutes and a minus 10 tonight against the Grizzlies. And so he had a short leash, obviously 9 minutes, but... you know, there are some guys who are up and down, and he's one of them, obviously, and you can kind of expect that. But Tobias Harris, his performance picked up, and then tonight against Memphis, didn't play particularly well. I'm pulling it up right now, his numbers tonight. I thought he was pretty good against Brooklyn. I think he shot 50%, kind of helped the Sixers maintain, you know, being in it in the fourth quarter, made some really nice plays. But tonight, Harris was just 3 for 12 for 8 points, a team low in the starting lineup when he was kind of, he's the guy without Maxey and Embiid. So your thoughts there?
I just don't even know. It's nothing much has changed still, because I'm still of the opinion that I had last episode, which was literally a week ago. Actually, I asked Troy before we started recording. I said, when did we post last week's episode? And he said Thursday. So it hasn't even been a week since that episode.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed on my end. I do, though, and I'm almost certain I said this last week, I wish he played better. Don't we all, right? But I wish he played better. That's what I'll say. And he kind of needs to. If the Sixers are going to win any more games, and I'm serious, I'm so serious. If the Sixers are going to win any more games, especially with the teams that they're going to be playing next, Knicks, Bucks, I think the Knicks twice, Bucks, Heat, they're going to need Tobias Harris to play properly. And by properly, I mean 20 points, good defense, hit threes, don't take 7 seconds to make a decision with the ball.
Yeah.
Fixes to his game. We've seen him do all these things at the same time. Hit threes, 25 points, quick decision making, no ISO ball. We've seen it. We've seen it all in a very, very short span of time. He needs to do that in this next however long it is till Embiid comes back. I don't even know. 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I sure hope so. Oh, my goodness. I hope it's soon, right? Because, oh, my gosh. I almost like, because, again, they kind of just went through a little bit of a tough schedule with the Celtics, Bucks, Cavs. But then you just mentioned what's coming. It's not pretty.
We talked about their schedule on a previous pod, right? But, like, their schedule is insane.
It ain't pretty what's coming.
They are playing all teams well above 500, except for the Hornets. Oh my gosh. Right.
Yeah.
They have
so Pelicans
dude,
on Friday.
They have Knicks twice in
Knicks
a row.
Back-to-back.
Bucks skip a game, Heat, Suns, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, Clippers, Cavs, and then Thunder, Heat again.
Right. And then we're almost over. So they end the season with a tough schedule.
That's horrifying.
And you know, I remember someone, like, maybe it was at the, no, a little before the All-Star break, someone was like, you know, Sixers had the easiest schedule in the NBA up to this point, and they have the toughest at the end, and it checks out. And a lot of that that you just rattled off is on the road. So again, back-to-back Knicks, Bucks, and then they go out west. You know, after they get the Heat and Hornets at home, they go on, you know, their West Coast road trip, Suns, Lakers, Clippers, Kings.
I mean, Clippers at home. So, like, it's those not... games? I don't know.
All right. That brings me to my final point of discussion tonight for this episode. This is one I knew I wanted to address. We're going to be hypothetical. I don't love doing hypothetical, but we are going to address it. And I need your honest answer. Okay? So follow me closely here. All right. Hypothetically. Let's... It's so funny that I'm doing this after we just rattled off. Can they win any of those games? Let's just say that the Sixers somehow, some way, avoid the play-in.
Okay.
Okay? Based on what Not we know, possible. That might be difficult. Okay? Sixers are right now in the play-in. Seven seed, they're a half game out of being the sixth, so, I mean, it's right there. A lot of these teams that they have coming up are on their schedule. Knicks and Heat, you know, really soon. There are other teams right ahead of them, so that's important. Orlando's only a game ahead in the loss column. So, you know, I mean, the four seed's right there. I mean, it's close between the four, and now the Pacers are right there on their back on the eight. So it's crazy. Four to eight is nuts. However, let's assume they get out of the play-in. Michael, would you rather the Sixers get the sixth seed, meaning they play the three? Now, this is, I mean, again, it's crazy we're even doing this, but hear me out. They get the six, they play the three, they don't have home court, or would you rather them be the four seed, not the five, because, again, that's not home court. Let's say they get home court as a four seed, and... But you know what that means. If they somehow, some way get out of that round, you know who's waiting on deck. Mm-hmm. It's the Boston Celtics. So the question is, would you rather be the four seed with home court advantage in the first round? Again, it's crazy we're doing this, but we are. And then have to play Boston, your reward, if you win. Or would you rather be a six seed without home court advantage and maybe play the Cavaliers in the first round and the Bucks in the second? What would you prefer if you had to pick one?
I'm going to be channeling my inner hater right now. The Sixers cannot get the fourth or the sixth seed. I'm just going to let you know, right? That's not happening. That's not good. It's just not happening. It's just not at this point. Okay. You're right. You're right. I just wanted to preface with that. You're right.
I'm not confident they will either.
I mean, I guess I'd rather have them get the sixth seed, right? I mean... Then you're playing like the Cavs in the first round. I think they could beat the Cavs if Embiid comes back. Right. And then who do they play after that if they win? The winner of,
well, likely the Bucks.
If everything
fell in accordance with plan, it'd be the Based Cavs on, and the Bucks.
Now, obviously, a lot can still change in a month and a half until this hypothetical second round playoff matchup. But from what I've seen from the Bucks this year, plus Glenn as their coach, I think the Sixers maybe could beat them in seven. I don't know. I don't want to go that far yet. That's too much.
Right.
Just not.
But it's just kind of an interesting thought, and the reason because if the Celtics aren't having the year that they're having, the obvious answer is we'll take the four seed because it's home court, like all this stuff. But like
they're legitimately the best.
Any team wants to avoid Boston. Right. Every team wants to avoid them right now. And so if you can avoid them as long as possible, you know, or the case can be made for the other point is, you know, the seven or the eight seed. I think we'll take the seven, please.
Yeah.
We don't wanna, our first round matchup doesn't want to be Boston. So kind of the same thing there. But again, that's why it's important even to avoid falling to the nine in the play-in, which looks like they'll be okay because they're five games up right now on falling to the nine. So hopefully that lasts. The Chicago Bulls are in the nine spot right now. So, but again, you know, you're in that 7-8 first round or first play-in. You win that game, you avoid the Boston Celtics. And so that's a good thing. We're just going to have to wait and see. But I had to throw that out there because it's, I don't think there's been a year where I would say that, you know, let's not go for home court advantage. Let's go for a lower seed so we can avoid the Celtics. anyway, that's what it comes down to. But to your point, not looking like they will. It's crazy that, again, like where we're at, but you don't have Joel Embiid. Maxey's been out. D'Anthony Melton's out. Like, you're missing your lineup. And the reality is there's some other teams getting hot, and the Sixers are not them. The Orlando Magic have won 8 out of 10. Milwaukee's won 8 out of 10. Knicks have coming back down to earth a little bit. Miami is 8 of their last 10. So there's three teams ahead of the Sixers that are red hot. Sixers are 4 of their last 10. So you do the math, and that's why the Sixers
just
are where
so
they're at
crazy
right now,
like
over this last stretch.
Everyone is getting high at the perfect time, and the Sixers are just injuries, losing. It's so, you know what? I understand why people, why, if you're a Sixers fan and you are absolutely miserable, I get it. Usually I don't. Usually I'm just like, man, Sixers fans are just so negative and just hateful. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay, but what I am saying is that, like, I can kind of understand it because at this point in the season, the things that are going on, the injuries, the losing, Embiid stuff, I can see why and how you'd be frustrated and then have it come out as you just sound like a hater. I get that. Like, I can totally understand that. This sucks. I'm just gonna keep it real. This sucks. You see all the other teams healthy, winning, having a great time. The Sixers are the opposite. They're injured, losing, and they're having a horrible time. Now, I still am enjoying the Sixers because I like their new additions. Some guys are playing very well, but at the same time, it's just so hard to overlook the elephant, the giant, actually multiple elephants in the room, and just be like, oh, it's fine. Well, it's not fine. This is not good. This is not fun. Like, I'm not having fun right now. Yeah. Again, there are some positives to take away, like I was talking about a few minutes ago, but I just kind of want to be a good team again, and they're not a good team right now.
Yep. No, this is
that is probably the most negative I will ever be on this podcast, and might be the most negative I've ever been.
Oh yeah, but it's an appropriate time. Like, I mean, you know, it's not like it's out of pocket for what you're saying. It's you're spot on. It is where the Sixers are at right now, where we're at right now as a fan base and a podcast, and it's a weird, weird, weird season, and they can't seem to catch breaks, right? Like, they come off a good win against Dallas, and then Maxey's ruled out with a concussion, and it's pretty nuts. But as we said last week, and as we will likely continue to say every week until Embiid returns or until the playoffs begin, you know, I mean, obviously right now I will take a healthy Embiid and a you know, an opportunity, like you kind of, like you said, you know, if they're in the play-in, they're in the play-in. But if you got an opportunity to win one game and you're the seventh seed and then you can avoid Boston and see what happens, and Embiid's healthy, we're going to take that right now. 6-7, whatever, like, let's get him well. Let's get him on the floor. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Brooklyn Nets the year that they had Kyrie and KD and James Harden, 2021, when those guys weren't healthy. They didn't play together a lot. Yeah. They played like 10 games together coming into the playoffs, and then suddenly they were on the floor together, and they gave Milwaukee a run for their money. Kevin Durant's shoe was a half size smaller, they would have won that round, right? And that's kind of what the Sixers are going to be at. Hopefully it's a situation like that where they are healthy and they can give a team a shot, like Milwaukee, like Cleveland. But it all depends on the big fella. So we will continue to say that until he's back. So anyway, that is episode 135. We'll kind of end it there on a little bit of a positive note as we look toward the future again. It is March 6th. We're recording. Just turned to March 7th, actually. And then the Sixers regular season ends on April 14th. So, you know, just, you know, 5 weeks away or so. And we're going to continue to cover the Sixers until then and beyond for the playoffs. And we will see you next time on Planet 76.